Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's the dictionary.
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 Well, hey, what's up, word nerds? How is everybody doing out there in podcast land? This is the dictionary. That is what it is currently titled. I've been thinking slowly about maybe do I change the name? What do you think? Do you think it should be different? Let me know. Email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. You can also contact me via social media through, you know, the whole comment or DM thing that they've got over there. Facebook is The Dictionary. Twitter/X, Instagram, and Threads, they are all at DictionaryPod. Go ahead and find me and follow my stuff and like all my posts and comment on every single one of them. Please and thank you do that. You can rate and review this show. Oh, I just got a new, I should post this actually on the social media. Just like a day or two ago, I got a new review from, I guess their name is Upstate Upstart, and it's called A Crackling Fire to Cozy Up To. 5 stars, baby. It says, fun, relaxing, and surprisingly engaging. I enjoy turning on this podcast whenever I need to relax my mind or expand it. You could put it on when you go to sleep. You can put it on in the morning when you want to get the brain going, and you get to listen to me make silly sounds and songs. If you want to buy some merchandise for this show or other couple of designs that I've made, go to the TeePublic link in the show notes. You can watch this show on YouTube. I have been recording video for like lots and lots of episodes now, so those are going to be up on YouTube. They were only on Patreon. I wanted to say Podbean. That's my hosting site. They're on Patreon early and then YouTube later. What else? What are some of the other things? Google Voice. Call the Google Voice number and leave a message. I'll put it in a show if it's okay with you. 917-727-5757. If you have an idea for a joke for any future word in the rest of the alphabet, go ahead and email it to me. Only email, and I will say your joke when I get there. If you want to write your own theme song or sound effect or something, go ahead and make it short and then email that to me also. I think those are all the things that I wanted to tell you this morning. Oh, it is September 27th, 6:49 a.m. I got an early start. It's a Wednesday for me. I got a busy work week, but I still find the time to record this before my workday. So let's get it going. Okay, the first word is the beginning and the end of the EMF section. We finished all the EME words in the previous episode. We have 2 EMF words, and the first one is EMF. It's an abbreviation for electromotive force. And we also have, sound effect. What? That's the sound effect. The next word is also EMF, all caps. So you say EMF. This is also an abbreviation for electromagnetic field. So lowercase is electromotive force, uppercase is electromagnetic field, because clearly electromagnetic field is way more important than electromotive force. Whoop. The next word is EMG, all caps, the only EMG word. It is an abbreviation for 3 things: electromyogram, electromyograph, and electromyography. And I talked about those a while ago. So if you didn't hear those, go back to the beginning of the show and listen. That's the way you gotta do this. Whoop. There are no EMH words, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, but we do have, we are now getting into the EMI section, and that'll go on for a bit of time into tomorrow's episode. So we have a suffix, emia, E-M-I-A. Yep, that's how you pronounce it. There is no year. So number one, condition of having blood. And there, but there's a word in parentheses, or I believe the British people call them brackets. Condition of having such blood. I don't know exactly what that means, but we have an example, and it is leukemia. So let's do a quick little search. What is the leuke? Is it a prefix? Is leuke a prefix for something? What does it mean? It means white, as in leukemia. And so I guess, does that have something to do with white blood cells or having such blood, white blood? Do the red blood cells turn white, or is it about the white blood cells? I don't know. We have to wait until we get to the L's, but that sometimes the emia suffix means you have this type of blood, whatever the prefix is before the emia, that's what it means. Number two is condition of having in the blood. And what are you having in the blood? A specified thing. Condition of having a specified thing in the blood. And the example is uremia. Uremia. So that's something that I think would be blood. It's either urine in the blood or blood in the urine. Now, blood in the urine makes a whole lot more sense to me, but this is saying that it's a thing in the blood. Now, it could be something completely different, but, you know, we have to hold on to that one to learn about, well, I guess I could do, like, what's the UR prefix? Is there just a simple UR prefix? I'm not seeing something real simple and fast, so we just have to wait. We just have to wait. That's all we can do. Yes, it's clearly all about blood, this emia prefix, or sorry, suffix. It's from the Greek aimia, which is from haima, H-A-I-M-A, which means blood. And, you know, we'll get into the whole blood section and the H's, but like hemoglobin, all that stuff is blood related. Good times. Whoop. Next is emic, E-M-I-C. Now, this one seems like it would be a suffix, but it's not. It is an adjective from 1954, and it means of, relating to, or involving analysis of cultural phenomena from the perspective of one who participates in the culture being studied. Oh, interesting. And it says compared to etic or etic, E-T-I-C. So it doesn't give an example of how you would use this in context, but it does say that it is from the word, I guess it's from the word phonemic or phonemic. Phoneme, maybe it's something about sound. So that's not helpful at all. Thank you very much, dictionary. But it's about the analysis of culture phenomena. So it's not that somebody from a culture is going into a different culture to study that culture, culture number two. It's somebody who's already in the culture, in the thing, studying the thing that they're already a part of. And I don't know. Yeah, what it's etic. No, sorry, emic is the word. It's an adjective. So like, I'm doing some emic studying. I don't know. How do you use this? That's so interesting. And I think it's hard to be objective in that sort of situation. But, you know, you can still clearly, you know, interview people or observe people. I think that's a fascinating thing to do. I love interviewing people, so maybe I should do some of this emic analysis. Whoop. Next is emigrant. E-M-I-G-R-A-N-T. It is a noun from 1735. I don't remember what it was. Maybe I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about, I think they were talking about immigrants, but they did bring up this idea, this thing where you have the E and the I at the beginning of the word. I think we talked about that recently, and they're different. So an emigrant with an E is, number one, one who emigrates. Not helpful if you don't know what that is. Number two, a migrant plant or animal. And we will talk about emigrate in a minute, so let's just get there. Let's just keep on chugging along. I'm not going to explain this to you yet. We'll let the dictionary do that. Whoop. Next is the second form of emigrant, adjective from 1773. Departing or having departed from a country to settle elsewhere. Oh, you're starting to get a picture of what this is. It's about leaving a place, because the E, the way that I like to think about it, is E is like exit. You are exiting a place. Boop. Emigrate is next. Emigrate. Oh, the emigrates. The emigrating is great. This is an intransitive verb from 1766. Is it really intransitive? I feel like it would be transitive, but maybe my understanding of transitive and intransitive are just completely false and wrong. Okay, this means, so it's an intransitive verb, it's the action, to leave one's place of residence or country to live elsewhere, as in emigrated from Canada to the United States. And I have a feeling that that is, now while there have been a lot of people who have done that, these days or in the past 5 to 10 years, I don't think that there was a lot of people saying, you know what, you know, Canadians thinking, you know where I would really like to go? The U.S. They really know what they're doing down there. I'm going to go to the U.S. Their government is great. Their politics is fantastic. They know how to treat people so well. I want to go to the U.S. You know, I'm maybe exaggerating a little bit, but there has been a lot of talk about people in the United States wanting to emigrate to Canada because of lots of reasons. Let's just end it there. So emigrate, what more information do we got? We got emigration, that is a noun, and this is from the Latin verb emigrare, which is from E plus migrare, which means to migrate. Now that's pretty much the same thing. Migrate, emigrate, what do I not know about the word migrate? You're leaving a place, you're migrating away, and that's the same as emigrate. But it's the opposite of immigrate or immigrant. That would be the person who is immigrating, because in that context, you're going in. But here's the thing. This is the thing that sort of hurts my brain about it. Both words describe the same thing or the same person. Somebody who is leaving their country and going to another country, they are emigrating from their country, they are immigrating into another country, but they're both an emigrant and an immigrant because they're the same thing. They're not a different person. They left one, they entered another, immigrant in to another country. It hurts my brain. But the podcast I was listening to, whatever it was probably The Allusionist. There are other words for emigrate, leaving a country. It makes it sound like maybe you're a refugee or you're leaving for whatever reason. But there's another word, expat, where it sounds more like, you know what, I was just ready for a change. I'm not leaving under, you know, political or war issues or anything like that. I'm leaving because I just want to go. I just want to leave. I want to live in another country. So I'm an expat, but you're technically an emigrant because you left one country, but you're also an immigrant because you went into another country. It's not complicated at all. It really isn't. Will I ever be an emigrant or an immigrant? I don't know. Maybe someday I will live in another country. I think that would be fun. Maybe I'll live in all the countries. Whoop. Next is emigre or emigre. Emphasize the first or the last syllable. It is spelled E-M-I-G-R-E, and there is definitely an accent on the last letter, the second E, and it goes boop. But you could also spell it with an accent on the first E, which also goes boop, whichever way you want. I would guess that the one with the accent at the beginning, you emphasize that one more. Emigre. Emigre. Okay, this is a noun from 1792. Oh, the synonym is just emigrant, but especially a person who emigrates for political reasons. Political reasons. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of people, like I said, in the United States who were very much considering being an emigre for political reasons and other reasons, too. This is French, and it just means to immigrate. Or no, sorry, to emigrate. I have to be very clear on my pronunciation. It just means to emigrate. Whoop. Next is eminence. Eminence. E-M-I-N-E-N-C-E. Noun from the 15th century. 1. A position of prominence or superiority. So I guess if you are a CEO, if you're the head of a company, of a group, a something, you would be eminence. It's because it's a noun. You would have eminence. You would have that position of eminence. I have the eminence of this podcast, and that's it. 2. One that is eminent, prominent, or lofty, as to a, an anatomical protuberance, as of a bone. Huh. Okay. So is there a protuberance on the bone, or is the bone the protuberance? It's probably a protuberance on the bone. And it's eminent, prominent, or lofty. I don't know what lofty means in this context. But yes, if you had like a growth on your bone, it would be prominent. It would be very irritating and possibly painful. And it would be an eminence. Never heard of it used that way. To be a person, so this is one that is eminent, prominent, or lofty, as to be a person of high rank or attainments. And this is often used as a title for a cardinal. This would be one of those religious cardinals and not the bird cardinals. His eminence. Oh, yes, you are so lofty, you cardinal. To see a natural elevation. So, I don't know, a mountain. You're going hiking and you want to get to the eminence. It's the top, the part at the top, I guess. I don't know. No etymology for this one. Whoop. Next is, this is a French phrase, éminence grise. Éminence grise. Yes, okay, two words. The first word is just spelled like eminence, but there is an boop accent on the first E. And then the second word is grise, G-R-I-S-E. Noun from, where's the year? So much etymology? 1925. Okay, this is number one, a confidential agent, especially one exercising unsuspected or unofficial power. They have power that is unofficial and also unsuspected. Oh, I didn't expect that power. It's a secret agent, right? A confidential agent. That's basically what they are. They're a secret agent, man. 2. A respected authority, specifically the synonym elder statesman, as in the éminence, now how do you say this word? Éminence grise of a classical music, of classical music. So a respected authority. So if you know all the stuff there is to know about classical music, and maybe you play classical music very well on a violin, viola, cello, bass, or any of the other instruments in the orchestra, you would be the éminence grise of classical music. I absolutely will never be that. I will probably never be the éminence grise of anything, to be honest. Let's see. So, let's get to the etymology, because it's a French phrase. It literally means gray eminence, like the color gray, which was the nickname of Père Joseph, And then in parentheses, it says François du Tremblay, and maybe that was the rest of his name. I'm not sure. He was a French monk and diplomat who died in 1638 and was the confidant of Cardinal Richelieu, who was known as Eminence Rouge. That's the Red Eminence. Red Eminence and Gray Eminence. Those were their nicknames. They didn't know how to nickname people in the 1600s. They didn't have it nailed down like we do these days. We know nicknames so good. So their nicknames, Gray Eminence and Red Eminence, are from the colors of their respective habits. And that's the stuff that they wear. That's like you wear the same color all the time, and then people are just like, they call you the green t-shirt. They would call me the graphic tee man because I like my graphic tees, and today I'm wearing one with Yoda on it. Okay, let's see. Is there anything else that we got to say about Eminence Grise? Nope. Now, okay, here's the question. Was Père Joseph a confidential agent? Was he very confidential with Eminence Rouge? I don't know. Why don't we have Eminence Rouge in here? Why didn't that guy get words and definitions named after him? He's not as important, I guess. Whoop. Next is eminency, noun from 1604. This is archaic, and the synonym is eminence. His eminence. Whoop. Eminent is next. E-M-I-N-E-N-T, adjective from the 15th century. 1. Standing out so as to be readily perceived or noted, and the synonym is conspicuous. Standing out. If you wear a wig, if you wear some fancy clothes, some fun colors, all those things, you will be eminent. I have a bag. I have like a shoulder bag to keep all my stuff in, nice and safe and close, so it's not in like my pockets or whatever. And I have a whole bunch of pins on it, and so I think that my bag would be eminent. I guess sometimes my shirts with like this kind of shirt, it's kind of eminent. It's kind of conspicuous, but in general, I'm very unassuming. There's nothing crazy. I don't have crazy colored hair. I have thought about it. I've thought about dyeing my hair, but I think that would be silly. So silly. I guess that's what I do, though, so maybe I should. Okay, number 2, jutting out. The synonym is projecting. Anything jutting out of something else, just sticking out like a sore thumb out of a thing. And so eminent, it's eminent. I don't feel like we use this word very often. I don't hear people say this. Number 3, exhibiting eminence, especially in standing above others in some quality or position. And the synonym is prominent. Exhibiting eminence, but you're above others. You're like, I'm eminent and you're not. I'm prominent because I'm jutting out like a sore thumb. A synonym for the whole thing is the word famous. So if you are known, well-known, people know your face, people know your name, you would be eminent. Maybe you could be called Their Eminency. Maybe Eminence Grise, because why not? Just why not? Okay, the etymology is from the Latin verb eminere, which means to stand out, which is from the e prefix plus menere, which is akin to the Latin word mons or mont, which means mountain, and there's more at the word mount. So yes, mountains, they stand out. We like to go visit Seattle sometimes, that whole area, and specifically a little town to the east. And there are mountains around, and I'm not used to mountains. And so they are definitely eminent standing there like, look, that's a mountain right there. Did you see it? Yes, of course you saw it, because it's eminent and prominent, and it's sticking out of the ground. Okay, that's it for that word. Whoop. Next is eminent domain, 2 words, noun from 1783. A right of a government to take private property for public use by virtue of the superior dominion of the sovereign power over all lands within its jurisdiction. Sorry, I stumbled over my words a little bit there. But what is this? I've heard of this, but I never really knew what it was. This is a government can take your private property to use it for the public by virtue of the superior dominion of the sovereign power over all lands within its jurisdiction. So why would they do this? Let's put a link in the show notes where we can learn more about this eminent domain. Basically, it's saying the government can just come in and take your land if they want to. They got to have a good reason, but I'm sure a lot of people are afraid that the government might just come in and say they have a good reason, even though they might not think it's a good reason. It's a very interesting idea, and I wonder how that's been used. I definitely heard of the phrase, but I'm not smart enough or have enough good of a memory to know more details about this. So let's learn about it, because this is the kind of thing that you should probably know about. Whoop! Eminently. Adverb from 1616. It means to a high degree. The synonym is very. As in eminently worthy. This podcast is clearly eminently worthy. Also as in an eminently sensible plan. Who says that? An eminently sensible plan. That plan is so sensible. It's to a high degree, it is sensible. It's very sensible. But let's just say very. Just say very. Eminently, it's a hard word to say. To a high degree. This podcast is eminently silly. I got to make it more silly, though. That's what we need. Okay, next word. Whoop. Emir. You can say Amir or Amir. Amir. E-M-I-R or A-M-I-R or A-M-E-E-R. Three ways to spell this one. Emir. Noun from 1595. This is a ruler, chief, or commander in Islamic countries. I have heard of this word. I had a general idea of what this was. I did not know that you could spell it so many ways, though. This is an Arabic word, emir, spelled A-M-I-R, with a horizontal line over the I, and it just means commander, so that's what it is. The leader, the commander of anything, probably. Boop! The last word is emirate, or emirate, E-M-I-R-A-T-E. Noun from 1847, the state or jurisdiction of an emir, and it does not go to the next line, the next page. No, it does not. So the emirate, the emir is, that's where they run things. That's their land. That's their jurisdiction. Whatever the situation is, the United Emirates, right? That's a country. United. Let's look that up. Make sure I have, yes, the United Arab Emirates. So. Are they, or it's also just simply called the Emirates, a country in West Asia, the Middle East, is located at the eastern end of the Arabian Peninsula and shares borders with Oman and Saudi Arabia. Now, but it's the United Arab Emirates. So are there like mini countries within? I'll put this link in the show notes. Let's see, there's the history. What exactly does it consist of? There's the government. It's shortened to UAE. Oh, here, administrative divisions. It shows a map. There's Abu Dhabi, Ajman. It's so tiny. Fajairah, Sharjah, Dubai, Ras Al Kaiman, al-Kuwan. I have not heard of most of these. So yes, these are Arabic countries, areas, and they probably all have an emir, and they're united together in solidarity. I never really thought about the word emirate there. I have been to Dubai, actually. So I was there for a work trip many years ago. And it was so hot. Oh, my God. It was so hot. Okay. Let's pick a word of the episode. Let's pick a word of the episode. It's time to pick a word of the episode. We had EMF, EMF, EMG, EMEA, EMIC, emigrant, emigrant, emigrate, emigre, or emigre, eminence, eminence grise, eminency, eminent, eminent domain, eminently, emir, and emirate. Let's see. I need a reminder of this one. EMIC, is that how you say it? EMIC is involving the analysis. That was, well, yeah, I'll pick that one. EMIC, E-M-I-C, is the word of the episode because it was all about studying something from within it of relating to or involving analysis of cultural phenomena from the perspective of one who participates in the culture being studied. How, I don't know how to sing a song about this one. EMIC, EMIC. EMIC, EMIC. I'm studying stuff. I'm in the stuff. I'm being EMIC. EMIC, EMIC, EMIC. I think that's the end of that one. Let's not dig ourselves in that hole any further. Now what I will do is I will tell you about another movie that I watched because I enjoy doing that. And yes, I'm smart and I'm keeping track of which ones I spoke about. I am now going to tell you about Aurora's Sunrise, which I think it came out maybe a couple of years ago, but it finally got to our local little theater, and it is fantastic. If you can watch it, find it somewhere. Big screen would be great. Aurora's Sunrise, it is... It basically tells the whole story of the Armenian genocide, which I had heard of, but I knew nothing about. So it was a very important, it was an eminently important history lesson for me. And it's, ooh, I don't even know, like, how much do I want to say? It's the story of one woman who went through this genocide over, I believe, multiple years, probably, and how she survived and got to America. And that's all I'm going to say. It's, there's historical footage of multiple decades. There is animation, which is beautiful. And I don't know if it's rotoscoped exactly or if it's like, or it's a simplified rotoscope, but it was a beautiful design, beautifully well done, very sort of poetic at times, metaphorical. Yeah, highly recommend it. It is not necessarily an uplifting film, not throughout, at least. There are it's about a genocide. What do you expect? It's going to be sad. But this woman survives through it, and she was able to tell her story when she came here, and it's bonkers. It's just bonkers crazy, and you should definitely watch it, and please do that. Thanks. This is the end of the episode. Thank you very much for listening and watching. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.